WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Cleveland week. We used to just have Pittsburgh week around here. Now we have Cincinnati week two in this incredibly competitive division. I will be spending my Black Friday up in Harford County with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour with our friends at Conrad's Crabs. I have had Conrad's Crabs several times, but never Conrad's Crab Cakes. So we're going to do that and tell the family story and what a story it's going to be on a Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to be joined by Eric Sauer from There Goes My Hero, as well as Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. And hopefully on Sunday, beating up on the Cleveland Browns. This guy has been on both sides of the rivalry. I got to know him when he was on the right side, and he looked victorious and macho in that purple every Sunday. And his family would all come in droves in Browns jerseys. And then he went to the dark side and moved home. And at one point broadcasted Browns games. And now that the team's good, he's raising his family on weekends and weekdays in the land of Cleve. We welcome one of my favorites, Dave Zastittle, back on. He's still weird and left-footed and still doing things out there. Dude, you stopped doing the games, right? Because, like, you got a family to raise. You got kids running everywhere.
Yeah, I did it for a couple years, and then it was every Sunday. You know, we get down there early around 9 o'clock, and then we'd take it all the way up to the game time. And my daughter was in a soccer program, and my son was in his, you know, doing what he was doing. My oldest was in volleyball, and I was missing all these games, and I love football, but at the same time, you know, being a dad's going to go by so fast. So until things settled down, I took a break from doing the broadcast and stuff.
Well, and maybe this is a good time to jump in on that, because we can talk about the Browns and whatnot, but when you're doing the games, right, like if the Ravens were to hire me to sit in there with Sandusky and a football player just to keep it lively, I'd have to study the games and the team differently than I currently do, right? And I've written about the team. I've covered it for 25 years. I covered you. I covered Kyle before you and the late, great Greg Montgomery, rest his soul, Mr. Strychnine before that. And, you know, I've been out here watching Sam Cook the last 20 years do this, right? And doing the games and doing a broadcast, it's even different than doing sports radio, especially, I always said to Kenny Albert, because we started our career together, he would have these big charts, and, you know, all the broadcasters have charts and do all this stuff. They don't have a system, right? But calling the game, I'm not equipped for that right now. It's a whole different level of involvement than showing up on Sunday and just hanging out, right?
Right, right. It's a big difference. A lot of times, as a player, you see it from one perspective, and then, unfortunately, when you're doing some live radio and TV, you have to look at it from a fan's perspective, too. So, being a punter and having a little background in special teams, it kind of gave a little bit of a different perspective than a lot of people typically would hear, because we don't typically talk about the little things about the wind and the footing and, why maybe sometimes a kicker might miss a field goal. What are some things we saw? So I kind of added a little bit different element to it, but I've been in football my whole life and certainly, you know, miss doing it. And I think it's someday I'll get back into it.
Harbaugh commented after the Chicago game that it was a sandbox in the middle of the field. And I'm, you know, sure Matt Stover and, you know, anybody that's ever kicked yourself would know about that. And then, you know, we had the backup quarterback running around because Lamar was sick, which is, you know, in your dozen years you played in the league or however many, I don't have your wiki in front of me, but you played a decade at least, that how many times a guy was throwing up on the plane and curdled up and you're like, our linebacker's not playing today. It doesn't happen that often, right? Like that you wake up on a game day and your best player can't play. And then the backup quarterback's out there and the ball's sailing all over the place. And then I heard Harbaugh talk about it. I'm sitting behind glass in a press box, right? And I'm not glued into listening to the broadcasters or whatever. I'm watching the game. And I'm tweeting and I'm doing my thing. And then I walked out of the stadium and there was no wind at all. And I'm out on that lake. You've been there many times. You kicked there. And then I turned the corner and made a left. And I got blown about six blocks toward the subway an hour after the game. I mean, earmuffs on. My lips are all chapped. Right. And I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, this is what John was talking about in the post game. This is what the quarterback had to deal with and the punter and the kickers. And this is why that kid from Chicago missed the kick. And this is why they didn't attempt a 50-yard field goal like they usually do. But those are things that happen down on the field that change quarter to quarter. I mean, Parcells used to open the door in the Meadowlands to make them change, right?
Oh, yeah. The wind, especially in Chicago, Cleveland, Buffalo, anytime around the lake there, it got real nasty. In Chicago, the problem with that field – or that place was, the field was always a mess as well. Even the first game of the year, it felt like you were in a park. So, it's definitely some challenges. I think that, you know, one thing that people don't realize is when the specialists or the quarterbacks are playing, you think it may be a wind going in one direction, but the way it enters the stadium and bounces off the, you know, maybe certain stands and comes back, it could be blown at different places on the field. So, you know, you could be at the minus, you know, 20 yard line, you get up to the 50 and it's blown in a completely different direction. So it's definitely challenges. Chicago is one of the worst.
Dave Zastittle's here. Should I still say follows the Browns, covers the Browns? You're still watching on weekends and like paying attention a little bit?
Yeah, I do some things for him. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is an exciting time, and I think we've talked about that the last couple of years. I want to give you a kick in the groin here before we even get started, because my wife this morning, we were talking about her tickets for Sunday night. So we've been separated now at the games. It's a long story, one that I'm very not happy about. But she was trying to figure out whether she wanted to go to the games or not without me sitting in the cold in the first row of the upper deck where the wind can pick up and whatnot, and game temperature is going to be in the 30s. And she's like, do I want to go or not? And she's like, hey, the Browns, like, they're pretty good this year, right? And I'm like, they're in last place. So I just want to rub that in, that every time I have somebody from Cleveland on, you're all feeling good about yourselves. But the 6-5 last place, this is a whole different – the division is so competitive. We got our clocks cleaned by the Bengals 2 weeks ago, right? 5 weeks ago now, I guess.
Yeah, and then the Browns end up beating the Bengals like 41-7 or something, and then we go out and get – they got crushed by New England. I think it's I think the AFC North is a very competitive, and I think some of the big games are even coming up. And, you know, obviously the Cleveland's coming to Baltimore, and that's going to be a classic game. And Cleveland's been, you know, rightfully so, have been facing a lot of injuries this year. I think it's really affected the team. I think having a lot of new guys and new faces on defense, it took a little while for them to start, you know, coming together and playing. You saw a lot of inconsistencies early in the year and just major, major blows of coverage in the back end. So it's an interesting time in Cleveland. I think there's a lot of high expectations, a roster full of talent, but the injury bug has definitely affected this team.
Where were you on the OBJ, right? I mean, dude, you played with Ray Lewis. You played with, like, real rock stars. You played with the Beatles, right? And you played in other places with great players, Arizona, other places. Give me a little perspective on great players. I mean, when your kids say, Dad, you know, who are the five great players that are Hall of Fame players? And he's a guy that, you know, now second organization out. I you've been in these locker rooms a long time. You have far more insight than I have on this, but malcontents. I thought Tomlin, all these years in, and Tomlin's job security, he's got $100 million in the bank, to step up in front of the media and say, we want volunteers, not hostages. I thought that was the greatest line ever, and I think you know that that eats an organization from the inside out, and it ate the Browns up for a long time, right?
It did. It happened a lot. You know, everything back from the signing of Dwayne Bowe, I don't know if that name rings a bell, when we signed him as a veteran for like $10, $11 million, and he was a huge disruption in the locker room from what I heard. But OBJ is an interesting – he's always going to be an interesting guy. He has a heck of a lot of talent. I think, you know, from what my perspective is and things that we heard here in Cleveland is there just was a lot of timing issues between the offense and him and the routes that maybe he was supposed to run compared to – what the, you know, anticipated, route was going to open up for the quarterback. And like I said, these are just things you hear, but obviously it wasn't a fit. It became apparent. And, you know, as a fan and in the media, you start seeing some things, hearing some comments, and it just was better for organization and better for OBJ just to separate. It's just one of those that just wasn't a fit.
Yeah. When you have your father releasing videos, you're basically calling out the court. I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's just a different level of anything you playing prep ball or play, you know, that you would expect in the national. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous, quite frankly, when I think about it.
Yeah. And quite frankly, if you were here in Cleveland, you know, OBJ never really made a big stink of anything. He went about his business. He showed some times of frustration, but he really wasn't a huge distraction. I think a lot of people would tell you that. I just think it came down to football and the Browns, you know, we're basically a touchdown away from going to the AFC Championship last year without him. And I think when he came back this year, you could see the timing was off and Baker didn't trust that he was going to be there. And you could just, it was plain as day. And so, he gets shipped off. We go ahead and the Cleveland Browns beat Baltimore convincingly. And you're saying, oh, maybe this is a, you know, something to be said there. But I think everyone in Cleveland wishes him well, and I think nobody is shocked by how he was shipped out of here. So,
but the notion that you're a better football team with this great player, right? Like having great players around is how the Browns are going to win, and then the perception is of where it is. Dave Zastittle is here, former punter for our organization, now in Cleveland, raising a family, watching some football, talking about some football. Baker's so banged up, right? I mean, and I'm not one to complain about the injuries. I mean, we have no Ronnie Stanley. We have no Marcus Peters. We go down the list of all the guys we've lost, and we've started to get some guys back now, finally. McBoyle played the other day, got Pat McCary back on the offensive line, trying to figure that out. But, I mean, we lost three running backs the week before the season began and went out onto the street getting running backs. So it's been a weird year in that way, but resilience for all of these teams. I think that about Pittsburgh when I saw them the other night in a cat fight out in L.A. Yeah. I mean, I don't think the Bengals are going to be an easy out, and we're going to see them in a couple of weeks as well. And the stacking of these games, I mean, we're sitting around here. The Browns are going to be in the hotel here all day watching the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny. The injuries have really mounted up. I mean, you're talking, Nick Chubb missed some games. Kareem Hunt's been out. Jack Conklin's been a huge void at the right side of the line for Cleveland. And you had Denzel Ward was out. Greedy Williams, their corner's out. Jadeveon Clowney's been out. It just was, a bad timing from an injury standpoint. But they've been pretty resilient in being at 6-5. I can tell you, Baker Mayfield, it's obvious that he's in pain. He's just not throwing the ball like he's capable. His footwork isn't, catching up to where I think his shoulders are and how he needs to be in tune with the receivers. But the kid is a warrior. He wants to play. He wants to compete. The problem is in Cleveland, the talk is he healthy enough to be effective? And I think that is the biggest concern, because if you get Chubb back, playing healthy, which he is from his calf, and Kareem Hunt comes back, this is an offense that relies a lot on their tight ends and running backs. And really, it's not a wide receiver threatened offense. So they feel that if they have their line healthy and the good running backs, they're very versatile to chunk the ball down the field, and Baker just doesn't have to make mistakes. He's just got to manage the game. But I think if you get Kareem Hunt back, and you get Jack Conklin back this week, this offense will start expanding to where it was earlier in the season, where they were scoring more points. So it's just one of those deals where, the injury to Baker, I think, has really affected this team. And if you flip that around, you see with the Baltimore Ravens and all their injuries, you still have Lamar Jackson because he's so dynamic. That guy can do it all. And I think having someone like him, when running back goes down, he can make up for it with his legs if he has to. We just don't have that luxury on our side.
Dave Zastittle joining us from Cleveland. I always appreciate you making time, man. You and the family having a fun time out there. Hey, listen, if I make it out in 2 weeks on Sunday morning, come on down to Tremont. Let's have some muffins together, man. Have some coffee, break some bread.
Yeah, right? I like that. Hopefully it's not snowing here. I know the weather is going to get bad soon. So
I am trying to find an excuse to leave my cat for 2 days because, my wife's gone for the holidays. We're selling our condo. So I'm trying to figure it out, trying to get in and out, sneak in and out of Cleveland. But I will not sneak in and out of Cleveland without inviting you out for muffins. All right.
Thank you. And I want to say one thing is, I'm not huge on Twitter, but the Baltimore Ravens sent me a card, a hat for my birthday, and I posted it on Twitter, and I had the most likes and retweets I've ever had in social media. And I think it just goes to show the class of the organization. It's just top notch. So,
well, I always told you the day I met you, you gave me all this Cleveland and the family came in and all that stuff. You never forget your days in purple. You know what I'm saying? So,
the timing of this thing was, I say in the end, it was really good because I would never have left Baltimore for anybody besides my hometown team. And the fact that I did, you guys end up getting one of the greatest punters of all time. So I think it was a win-win for both sides.
Sam Cook's happy we dragged him off the farm in Nebraska. He and I have talked about that a few times, but I don't talk to players anymore because I'm a media member. So you know how that goes. So,
gotcha.
Dave, I appreciate you, brother. Take care of yourself. And I will see you in the land of Cleve, hopefully soon. Okay.
All right. Hey, take care, Ness. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Dave Zastittle, Zasty9. You can find him out on the Twitter and the social media, wearing more orange than purple, but nonetheless, we've straightened him out. Hey, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery is coming your way. We're going to be Black Friday at Conrad's Crabs in Abingdon. Pappas. We'll be having the famous Pappas Crab Cake on the 3rd of December, and that's a Friday as well. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. 30th anniversary coming up as well. We'll be talking music and sports and fun. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.